Now, if you open the Bible, if you have it, get to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. The Lord Jesus said in the fourth chapter of John, laid down the laws of spiritual harvest, talked about other men have labored and we've entered into their labors. That's the program of the Lord. One plows and one plants and one waters and one sows. And God gives the increase. Sometime I've been at a congregation where the plowing had been done, the planting had been done, the sowing had been done, the watering had been done. All that do, stick in a reaper, you know, just sickle and reap a harvest. Time out to plow, but it's all God's Word. It's been my joy for 3 weeks to enter into your labor. Now tonight, from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. The book of John is the one book of the Bible where no matter where you start reading, you wish you'd started above it. It is a difficult book to read, without reading the whole chapter every time you read it, because if you start any place in the Gospel of John, you'll have to go back to some verses ahead of it to understand it. But with that in mind, let's start reading with verse. I got it here before me. I'll find it here directly. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. We'll have to go back, of course, now, fresh out thinking what times we're talking about from that time. We'll have to try to find out what the word disciple means here. Then look into the proposition of them going back and walking no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. There are three questions that I ask and answer tonight. First, what kind of people were these people called disciples? What kind of folks were they? They went along with the Lord in the days of his flesh, and then they quit. What kind of folks were they? Second, why did they quit? And the third question, what kind of folks were the folks who didn't quit? Some stayed with him. Our first question is, what kind of people were these folks called disciples? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The chapter itself tells us what kind of people these were in two different places. In the first verse of John chapter 6, if you'll turn back to it, we'll have a description of some of these people who went along with the Lord in the days of his flesh, and then something took place and they stopped and left him and walked with him no more. After these things, verse 1 says, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They went along with him because they'd seen him work miracles. In verse 26, describing perhaps the same group, yet Bible scholars are not sure about this, maybe another group that went along with them, but the two get the whole crowd. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. The Harrison people who went along with the Messiah as he worked miracles by the power of the Spirit. Here are others who followed him for a while because they'd been present and had witnessed and had eaten of the loaves and the fishes. Miracle has its place in the kingdom of God. But a man has to be converted by faith, not in God's working miracles, but in the Word of God. Faith cometh not by observing miracles. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These folks had seen Christ work miracles, but they'd never heard him savingly speak to them. They had not been able by faith to hear him in his Word. It is not true that God's people follow Christ a while and quit. That is not true. It may be that your brother Christian makes crooked steps because he's got so many tacks in his shoes, but they're always in the right direction. Never in the wrong. Never in the wrong. Maybe that you're the weakest Christian, but I'd rather be a weak Christian, and weakness always in the Bible refers to faith. There are two kinds of Christians. There are those who are strong in the faith and those who are weak. But the weak Christians head in the right direction, not away from Christ, but with him. With him. In the second place, why did these people walk physically with the Lord and follow him, and then they quit? Well, in this sixth chapter of John, we're faced, and I do not want to get in this too much because I'd be here till midnight, but we're faced with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was a square shooter, and unlike the evangelism of our day, he didn't think that he should hide truth from people. And if you'll read this sixth chapter of John very carefully again, you'll discover, once again, I hope, that the Lord taught them, and his teaching caused them to stumble, to be offended. It was too hard for them. And they said, we just can't take this. And from that time, when he had assured them of the verities of what it meant to walk with the Lord, from that time many, and that word many, the vast majority, went back. And they said, we want to be religious, but we don't want to be fanatics. And we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to just go too far away from hell. We're like little Benny. Used to be in a cartoon, the papers, and I as a boy, he's always getting in trouble because he accidentally broke a window pane because he accidentally threw it against the window to see how hard he could throw it without actually breaking it, and he accidentally broke it. It's nice to be a church member. Good place to hide from God, isn't it? Nice to be religious. But with Christ, it's all out. And I think I'll take a moment to ask you to look at one of the things that he taught, my Lord did, to this great crowd of people who were walking with him physically. At least they admired him because of his miracles, and everybody admires Jesus very much now. And it seemed like that they liked to eat of the loaves and fishes, and everybody likes for God to do something for them now. But he taught them one thing, among others, that I think we'll spend 2-3 minutes on tonight. In verse 51, the Lord Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat, aorist tense, once for all, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. But look at the next verse. Whoso eateth, present tense, whoso continues to eat, you eat first, once for all, but you continue eating. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh, present, continuous tense, keeps on drinking my blood, hath eternal life. And then he promises, and this is true every time in the New Testament. Nowhere does my Lord promise what I'm going to read to you now to anybody except people who eat once and keep on eating, who drink once and keep on drinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the Lord's Supper. This is not the Mass. This is daily believing, partaking of Christ every day. And to those people he says, I will raise him up at the last day. And I've studied this enough to know I'm telling the truth. Nowhere does Jesus promise that I'll raise Ralph Barnett up, and God knows I will have much trouble getting in the grave, but I want somebody that can get me out. And he promises that only, not to these folks who said way back down yonder, Cowpen's Corner, they got converted, but men and women who are partaking of Christ every day. You got a promise, brother. I'll raise you up at the last day. Well, now, I wouldn't want that. I'd rather be a Baptist and get saved back down Pooduck Creek and put it in a little can, hide it somewhere, and tell Jesus, goodbye, I'm glad I met you. I'll see you in heaven if you make it. I wouldn't want none of this gospel that says that a man ain't saved unless he's eating and drinking of the blood and the flesh of Jesus Christ every day of his life. No wonder they took out. If I could get this thing settled way back yonder, and it wouldn't interfere with my home life, and it wouldn't interfere with my business, and it could let me live like a hog and call myself Christian, if I could let myself feel good because I was a tither. Whew! I'm so sorry for tithers. You don't know nothing about giving. My soul. I'd be ashamed if that's all. I would. I dead sure would. But we got it all fixed now. If you go to church and give a tithe and still have enough to live like a king and don't kill anybody and rob a bank, it's very big. That's what they call salvation now. But what Jesus calls it is not something you can get in little compartments and so it doesn't touch your life and interfere with the way you want to do. You got it all fixed up. But no, this is a daily appropriation by faith of the merits of his blood, that's his death, and the power of his life, who is saved by his life. And this is a daily proposition. No wonder they took out on him. Have you? But I wanted to talk just a short a little bit tonight on the kind of folks didn't quit. And the Lord turned to the rest of them. After the most of them had left. And he said, You're going to? In September, I'll be trying to mock a preacher 41 years. All the days of my ministry, the multitudes of church members have long since quit walking for the Lord. Have you? Oh, they're going through the motion. They show up preaching that don't rain. They give a tithe. That don't happen. An unsaved man, if he wasn't a thief, he'd tithe. The Bible doesn't teach that the tithe of God's people belongs to the Lord. It says the tithe is mine. Don't it? Sure do. If an unsaved man's expected to tithe, God help us nice little covetous Christians. Huh? That's right. What's the sin of the book of Hebrews? Departing from a living God. They still showed up for service. Went through all the motions. In all the days of my ministry, I've seen professing Christians departing from a living God. Get them some rules. But the Catholics got us beat. If I was going to live by rules, I'd join the Catholic Church. They even tell you which kind of picture show you can go to and which you can't. Huh? But that's a white horse for different color from walking, not by a set of rules, but walking with the living. You going away too? Will ye also keep going through the motion? Long since departed from the living God. And Peter, who always spoke first and thought afterward, and that's good. You debate about it, take counsel of your fears, you'll always go wrong. And Peter answered for all the disciples and said three things that can be said about folks who start out with the Lord and don't quit. Oh, they stumble, but they never quit. And I'd love to just exhort you in this perhaps last message about three things that are true if folks don't quit. And he tells us here, first, folks don't quit are folks who've burned all their bridges behind them and ain't got no place to quit. He said, Lord, where shall we go? We would have left everything. Synagogue done turned us out. We're blowed up. We ain't got nowhere to go. Thank God for that. That's the only reason this old preacher hadn't quit a long time ago. It's not because I'm strong, brother. Just ain't had nowhere to go. Thank God he hems us up. A man who takes a leap of faith and says, here goes nothing, live or die, sink or swim. I'm on your hands, Lord Jesus Christ. He ain't got nowhere to go. When he wants to quit, he ain't got no place to go. So, Lord, to whom shall we go? Burn all your bridges behind. Only hope, only plea, Christ Jesus died. And he died for me. If that ain't so, I'm a dead duck. I've got nowhere else to go. What else, Peter? Well, Peter said, I use the last for the second. He said, we started out by believing, now we found out for sure who you are. Said, we believe that's how you start, ain't it? On God's naked word, isn't it? You'll never make it unless you can believe it on God's testimony. But that ain't all, brother. He said, we believe, and now we're sure. What? Who you are. By faith, God said it, I believe it, and then it comes to knowledge, brother. Until, if there's a one person left on the face of the earth, he can say, I found out who Jesus is. You know who he is? He's the sent one. He's the Son of the living. Mama said that is so, but that won't help poor Brother Barnes. Second-hand faith won't get the job done. The Bible said it, but that won't get the job done. The Bible's true, whether I'm ever able to believe it or not, but I can't enter into the blessing unless I can. Old Peter said, we found out who you are. We found out. We started out just by faith, but took God at his word. He opened the windows of heaven and said, this is the Son of my love. Hear ye him. And faith said, I believe God did that very thing. This fellow Jesus they talk about, you know who he is. God says he's the Son of his love. And by faith I take him. It don't just stay that way, brother. Assurance comes. Assurance comes. I know whom I believe. Not what I believe, but whom I believe. People who found out by God's revelation who Jesus is, they'll stay with him, brother. And then Peter said the third thing about folks stay with the Lord. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, we came to you, and you did for us what our hearts and souls long for. Oh, bless the Lord. No one but Jesus can do the sinner good, but he can. Thou hast the words of eternal life. We came to you, and you did for us what our heart panted for. There's no substitute for this. My mother used to tell me what the Lord done for her, but that won't help me. Has to be for me. Has to be for me. Somebody asked a preacher friend of mine, if somebody came to his town, claimed to be Jesus, said, would you believe it? My preacher brother said, if he would do for me what Jesus did, I'd believe him. Thou hast the words of eternal life. People who've been to Jesus and Jesus has done for them. Oh, the knowledge of sins forgiven, only Christ can give a man that. Peace, my peace, I give unto you. Man's a fool round this business settle for anything less than coming to Jesus and experiencing what he says he does for folks who come to him. Anybody's ever been able to say, instead of burdens, they were lifted. Peace came. They ain't fixing to quit Jesus. Some years since, I taught theology in the school evangelists, a school down in Winston-Salem. It got pretty burdensome, and the school got to providing a young preacher to drive my car at night. I'd be holding meetings, 50, 75, 100-mile radius, all over that section, and teaching by day. And they'd furnish a young preacher to drive me at night, save my body a little bit. One night, I drove my car down to the campus, and young Roger Merritt, young student of the school, got in behind the wheel of my car and drove me, had service that night, and then he brought me back, and parked the car, and got out to get in his car, and we'd go to our separate homes, and he shook hands with me and said, "Brother Barnes, here's a little gift for you." I was doing something, raising some money for something, I forget now what it was, and he'd found out about it, and he said, "Here's a little gift for you, my wife and I want you to have it." Well, it was dark, and I just stuck it in my coat pocket. I knew, I figured it was from $1 to $5, and that would be a sacrifice because he is selling shoes and doing everything else, wife and four children to go to school, you know. I forgot about it, to be honest with you. And later, as I was fixing the tire for the night submarine, I ran my hand down my pocket, and there's that bill. I took it out, and it was $100 bill. And I got on the phone, and I said, "Roger, you know what you left with me?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Why, you know it's $100 bill? He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Roger, why, you can't do that." Well, he said, "Brother Barnard, you wouldn't rob us of our joy, would you?" I said, you can't. Oh, he said, "Wife and I have been saving a long time. And we just getting a big lot of joy out of it." I said, "All right." Well, of course, that boy, he'd give me his IT's for when he sold his home, said God called him to preach after he had a family, wife and four children, said I'm going to go to school. His dear wife couldn't quite take it. And she, their home was very, very unhappy. She wouldn't let him pray in front of her or the children. They were having a good deal of trouble. And I went out to some little old church where Roger was a member. And he talked his wife into coming to hear me. And she heard me once and got mad at me and said, wasn't coming back. But she did come back. And the Lord saved her. Wife and I have been in their home. They had prayer, Bible, heaven. And then I was holding a meeting in another church there in Winston-Salem, and old Mother Merritt, Roger's 80-year-old mother. Mother Israel of the church, after the meeting got to progress in a little while. I say, anybody had trouble, she'd stick her hand up. And we'd stand saying, "There she'd come, oh, Mother Israel. She is the Mother Israel of the whole little congregation." Been a member of that church 40-some-odd years. And she'd kneel down there. People go try to pray with her, and she'd shake them off. Next night, she'd do the same thing. Everybody got talking, and it got in their crowd. If there was a Christian in all of that city, she was there. And I'd got her disturbed, and I was terrible. I didn't know what was going on. Night after night, yes, some trouble. Here she'd come. One night, the pastor knelt down by her. Said, "Mrs. Merrick, could I help you?" She said, "No, son.
Nobody can help me but Jesus. And Sunday morning came, and they asked me to come out something early, do something in the Sunday school, and I went. I got out of my little old car, started walking up toward the little church building, and bouncing down the high steps of that little old church building came that little old sassy, white-haired, pink-cheeked, 80-year-old mother. And she walked up into my presence, and she was of German descent, and she said in her clipped accent, "Brother Bernard, this morning, whilst I was doing the breakfast dishes, the Lord did speak peace to my soul." She said, "For 50 years, I've never known peace." No wonder the boy would give me $100. God spoke peace to his wife. God spoke peace to his mother. He loved me. "Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life." That kind of people are going to quit the Lord. If it be the Lord's will, we'll journey perhaps tomorrow home, part of the way. We have no promise at all we'll ever see each other again down here. But there'll be one thing, while life remains, you can tell about Brother Barnum and I'll tell about you. If you found out who Jesus is, and find it out you burned all your bridges to go after him, and actually been to him, he's done for you what no one else can do but Jesus. Somewhere down the road you'll be walking with the Lord. In the light of his word, praise the Lord. You bow your heads. Our Father, we pray now that you alone, who knows the inside of people and can pierce their hearts, we've gone as far as we can. Now, we commit this congregation to thy wondrous, wondrous saving mercy. And plead, as it be thy will, that you'll deal with every last one of us that seemeth good in your sight. We're going to stand and sing. I think we'll sing a verse or two of "Just As I Am." Without one plea, let us stand.